open with hymn number 160. Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
When thou forgavest iniquity,
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Deliver me, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far, far from helping me? All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. They say, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Be not far from me, for our trouble is near. For there is none to help. O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. Deliver me.
Mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us.
everlasting God, who has caused thy beloved Son to take upon nature upon himself, that he might give all mankind the example of humility, and suffer death upon the cross for our sins, mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, and that following the example of his patience, we may be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death, through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
The Old Testament lesson for this Palm Sunday is found in the 9th chapter of Zechariah, the 8th through the 12th verse. I will camp around my house because of the army, because of him who passes by and him who returns. No more shall an oppressor pass through them. For now I have seen with my eyes. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, for today I declare that I will restore double to you. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
You hold me by my right hand, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart.
The epistle lesson is found in the 2nd chapter of Philippians, the 5th through the 11th verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the epistle lesson.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Here ends the Gospel.
Praise be to thee, Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 162.
Oh,
grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is the Gospel, Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, and lowly sitting on a donkey, a colt the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, as Holy Week begins, the crowds shout their praises to the Son of God as he rides into Jerusalem. And as the week comes to an end, the earth itself is shaken with the aftermath of the tremendous work which this King accomplishes. But the end is not at all like the beginning. What begins with joy and hope and expectation ends in death, dread, and despair. With such a grand beginning, everyone at the end is wondering how things could have gone so horribly wrong. How, for example, do the disciples who are glad to follow Jesus into Jerusalem as he rides upon the colt of a donkey, how do they now find themselves abandoning Jesus just as he is about to do his greatest work? How is it that the many voices which shout out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," later cry out, "Away with him, crucify him"? The kingdom of Jesus seems to be in shambles by the end. But what seems to be is not what is. Through the horrors of Good Friday, the once and final sacrifice of the only begotten Son, God has prevailed and the old enemy, sin, death, and hell are vanquished. But no eyes could see this. This glorious victory was hidden. Had the people opened their eyes and remembered their scriptures, they would have known that all was not as it seemed as Jesus came into Jerusalem. The people were glad. This was Christ. They were certain of it. This was David's promised son. And likewise, they were certain that the work of this Christ was now to begin. He is a king. And after all, what does a king do but fight for and win his kingdom? And because he is the promised king, the one whom God said would come, the man who would sit upon his father David's throne forever, the people are certain that this is what Jesus now shall do. He will take up his power and reign. They are not wrong. Jesus will indeed take up his power and reign, but not how they as they imagined he would do. Had they but noticed how it is that Jesus entered Jerusalem, that he entered upon a beast of burden, they might have remembered the words of the prophet which foretold his coming. Perhaps then they would have heeded the rest of the prophet's words, where he declared to them how it is that the blood of the covenant would win the kingdom and set the people free. For the power of Jesus does not work like the might and glory of this world, because Jesus is a king like no other. The kings of this world, our great leaders of this land and others, seek power. And they are not content until they have more of it. And the more they have, the more they use it for their own benefit. This is just the way of the world. We're all used to it.
But Jesus already has all power in heaven and earth. Only he does what the most powerful, the greatest and mightiest of this world's kings or emperors or dictators or presidents have never done. He lays aside the use of his power, and he makes himself the lowliest of servants. He wins by surrendering. His purpose in this is not only to give you an example of humility, however valuable that may be. He does not use his divine might because this is the only way that he can save his people, the inhabitants of his kingdom. He must humiliate himself. His humiliation is necessary because we cannot be saved unless the King of all humbles himself so that he becomes the servant of all. But his humility is indeed an example for us. By it, he shows us that the way to eternal life is not through glory, but through pain and suffering and tribulation. Now, there is truly glory in the Christian faith. But like the glory that Jesus had as he entered Jerusalem, it is hidden. In fact, our glory is hidden in Jesus. When he appears visibly in his glory at the end of the world, then we will see and partake of that glory openly. But until that time, we only can know it by faith. And that is a good thing. If you could find the kingdom of glory here and now, if the pinnacle of the Christian life is success and peace between men and an end of poverty, an end of war, then Jesus has done everything wrong. He should have done what Satan told him to do back at the very beginning of his ministry. He should have turned stones into bread. He should have thrown himself down before the people to show his power. He should have taken up all the nations of the earth and ended war with his universal reign. He should have fed everyone and prevented everyone from ever hurting or harming one another again. That is what the disciples expected him to do, as well as many of the people who hailed him the Son of David and laid their garments and palm branches down at his feet. Who wouldn't want that kind of a kingdom? To live in peace and prosperity and health. That is paradise on earth. But that kind of kingdom cannot be found here or built here, because so long as there is sin in the world, there can never be peace or harmony. That seductive kingdom, the very kingdom that Satan tempted Jesus to begin, would not set men free. It would not bring peace, and it would not end strife. It would be a truly terrible kingdom and reign, because it could not remove sin. It could also not end the threat of death and of the punishment that comes after death. A kingdom where sin still remained in all men, where the king is perfect and righteous and rules with his almighty power, would be a rule of terrible tyranny, where conflict is ended by compulsion, threat of imprisonment, and death. In the end, as citizen after citizen breaks the law and rebels against the reign of this holy king, the terrible force of the law would bring that entire kingdom to an end. Perfect justice would be carried out upon every citizen until there is no one left to submit to the authority of Christ, and he indeed reigns, but he reigns alone. Therefore, the kingdom of glory which comes into this sinful world would really be a kingdom of death for all of us. And so do not wish it. That is why Jesus does not come to bring that kingdom of glory. He turns everything around. If a kingdom of glory would end in death, then he would begin his kingdom with death, so that it can end in glory. That is what he does when he comes into Jerusalem. He fulfills the prophecy of our Old Testament lesson, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Because he is the righteous one, the just, who comes bringing salvation. He is your king, and yet he is lowly. The world does not understand how a king can be lowly. The kings of the earth are never lowly like Jesus. But Jesus is nothing like the kings of this earth. He is the first and only king who can truly help his people. He can bring real and everlasting peace. And he can do it not by conquering with the sword, but by being conquered himself with the wrath of God against sin. He sheds no one's blood, like the kings of this world who fight wars for defense or conquest. Instead, he makes his own blood to be shed, so that by it he can atone for the sins of his people. What greater king then can there be than Jesus? He is the only king who actually does rule for the good of his people. He does not rule for his own pleasure. If he wished, he could have all the kingdoms of the world at his feet, laying down all of their riches, all of their best. But instead, he lays down his own life for the world at our feet, for you, and he gives everything to you. And where every king of this world has failed to bring lasting peace and prosperity to its people, Jesus succeeds. He brings you peace. He makes God to be your friend and your father. And therefore the people rightly hail their Christ, the Son of David, singing the words of Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Save now, I pray, O Lord. That's what Hosanna means. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And though they did not understand what it was they were asking, the psalm speaks for them. It continues, God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Jesus is the light which comes into the world. He is the sacrifice whom the Father sent to cleanse the world from sin. And here is how God brings peace to every nation, to the ends of the earth. The king takes up his reign by becoming the sacrifice for sin. And now you have been given a tremendous opportunity by this Son of David. You are blessed to see the beginning and the end of the week together, so that you will not be surprised when all these things take place and Jesus is crucified. The people, even the disciples, could not understand what was happening on Palm Sunday as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, but you can. Your hosannas praise Jesus not in spite of the lowly way he comes to you, but because he is the king who lays down his life for you. And you do sing these very words every Sunday. For just as Jesus came to the people of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, so he comes to you today. He brings to you his body and blood, which he offered and shed for the remission of your sins. Jesus himself enters this house of worship and gives you this special gift as the absolute proof of what he accomplished for you in Holy Week on Good Friday. His own body and blood comes into your presence for you to take and eat. That is why you sing these words, these hosannas, right before the elements of the Lord's Supper are consecrated. For when the words of Jesus are spoken, his words do what he says they will do. He comes to you today through his body and blood in the bread and wine of his supper, just as his words declare. Therefore, do not waste this opportunity, which is yours every Sunday. Rejoice with great joy at this holy thing which is before your eyes. Jesus has come to you in the humble forms of bread and wine, delivering you the fruits of his sacrifice, the forgiveness of sins which he has secured by his victory upon the cross. You do not need to lay down your garments or cut down palm branches before his feet. Instead, lay your sins before him. That is the only offering that he wishes from you, a broken and a contrite heart. And the greatest praise that you can give to him, the highest worship that you can offer, is to receive in faith the forgiveness of sins which he offers and seals to you in his blood. Truly, this is a king who rules for the good of his people. for your good. Therefore, save us now, we pray, O Lord in the highest. Blessed is he who comes among us still today in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Now may this peace which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Heavenly Father, into thy presence we come with thanksgiving and joy. In this holy hour we thank and praise thee that thou didst send to us thy Son, Jesus Christ, the incarnate and living Word, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised the shame. Grant that we might find in him the source of every blessing, and the only way by which we might come unto thee. Grant that as we look unto him, we may by his example be neither weary in well-doing, nor faint in heart, nor murmuring when we are chastened and corrected, nor despairing of thy mercy, but that as we partake of his suffering, we may also partake of his resurrection. Save us, O God, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but by the wounds and stripes of thy Son, who was offered to bear the sins of many. In thy word and sacraments, pour upon us the grace whereby we are saved, that we might ever find in him the water of life which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and grants us strength to live lives which are abundant in good works, the fruits of a living faith. To that end, put thy law into our minds and write it into our hearts. Put the song of salvation and praise into our souls, that with joy we may declare, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Let thy church gather from far and near into the Zion of faith, all who would be saved. Send forth laborers, therefore, to preach thy word in truth and to show forth the name of Jesus as the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Grant to this congregation and all who worship here strength of purpose in thy holy service, that we may seek with willing minds and pure heart the building and strengthening of thy kingdom. We pray for all who are in sickness, pain, anxiety, fear of death, or sorrow. Be with them when they pass through the waters of trouble. Let them trust in thee, for thou wilt deliver them. Now unto thee, O God, who art able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of thy glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
We sing hymn number 146. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again. and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Samaria, heaven and earth full of thy glory.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. The blood of Christ shed for the remission of your sins. Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Heart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh,
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 367.
Lord
bless.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.